And welcome to yet another podcast by attorney Joe Flores. You can reach me at Joe, J-O-E, at floreslawfirm.com. That's J-O-E at floreslawfirm.com or info, I-N-F-O, at floreslawfirm.com. Or just call us at 361-887-8670. That's 361-887-8670. Well, it's been another week, and we want to bring on some more information that will help you. As you all know, I've been podcasting on legal nurse consulting, and let me tell you why. Whether or not you become a legal nurse consultant, the more you know about the law, the better. For far too long, there have been myths out there, and we're going to talk about those myths. Number one myth that is wrong, that if you are a nurse and you carry insurance, that you will become a target of a lawsuit. That is absolutely false, and I'll tell you why. When a lawyer files a lawsuit, it takes a long time, if he's a smart and a good lawyer, and if he doesn't want to lose money, he is going to investigate the case. He is going to collect all the records. He or she is going to interview tons of people and gather as much data as possible. Number two, the person, if they are a good lawyer, is going to make sure that they have an expert or someone that can provide their opinion. And that, on a separate blog that we're going to do here pretty quick, we're going to show you how to be an expert for lawyers. Now, an expert must talk about the records they reviewed, and they've also reviewed those records to reach some opinions. But there's a certain way that you've got to get around not being struck as an expert, not being stricken from the record, your testimony, that you're unreliable. That's Daubert, if you're in certain parts of the country, but if in Texas, you're Daubert. But it's Daubert versus Merrill Pharmaceutical is the prime case example. If you read or Google that, it shows you what is an expert, what makes an expert, and how you can be struck. But so let's review. If a lawyer is going to file a lawsuit, that lawyer will have to get the records. That lawyer will have to get an expert to review those records. And then the lawyer is going to decide whether to file or not. Now, they are going to look for a primary target. 9 times out of 10, it's certainly not going to be the nurse. It's certainly not going to be the nurse practitioner unless the nurse practitioner had their own clinic. Then maybe. But they'll probably go after the nurse, and say a nurse practitioner had their own clinic, but it was a professional corporation-owned clinic. They are going to go after that. And if you are incorporated and have insurance, then the targets are the corporation or the entity that controls the clinic and the insurance. They're going after the pockets. Then, of course, they try to go after you individually, but that is the last and latest third thing. Now, how about insurance? Well, you carry insurance. That way, if they go after you, you've got insurance. Now, how are they going to ever find out? Let's go back about carrying insurance. Myth number one, that carrying insurance, you're a target. That's absolutely false. A lawyer has to file a lawsuit to find out whether or not you carry insurance, but it's called request for disclosure. They ask whether or not you carry insurance. Now, number one under that, will they even ask the nurse if they carry insurance? Probably not. Why? Because lawyers are under the impression that most nurses don't carry insurance. And you know what? They're right. Most nurses that come see me, no matter how many times I have asked and I've posted and begged and told people, please carry their own insurance, nobody's willing to pay the $8 a month to carry their own professional insurance. So they end up paying a lawyer money to represent them because they have no insurance. Two, that insurance policy that you buy, you're more likely to get reported to the board, much more likely than sued. So let's dispel that myth about carrying insurance. And three, that myth has been put in your head by hospitals, by clinics, by everybody above you, because they don't want you to have your own lawyer. They want you to be under their insurance policy because that insurance policy has a lawyer. The lawyer answers to the insurance company, and I don't care who says that they don't, they do, because I worked for the insurance company in the past. They answer to the insurance company first, the insured second, and then whoever works for the insured being the hospital or a group of doctors, and then the employees last, which would be you. So the loyalties of having somebody else's insurance putting an umbrella over you, well, that's questionable. So there's a lot of hurdles that lawyers just don't want to get through to sue a nurse. Plus, most important is lawyers don't like to sue nurses in the first place because jurors are not going, people on the jury are not going to appreciate it because that's like picking on one of them. They identify with nurses, firemen, and teachers. Nurses are one of the most respected professions time and time again, year after year, and the approval ratings are over 80% all the time. Why? Because it's a very highly regarded profession. It's trusted. And that is why a lot of nursing boards are so hard on the nurse, because they want to keep that position of trust with the public. And so we've talked about that. Now, remember all of that, what I've told you about. Let's review. I've talked to you about why you are not a target. Talked to you why you need insurance. I've talked to you what the hierarchy is if you're under somebody else's insurance. And four, how hard it is for the lawyer to go through and find out whether you have insurance. And then the last, but not least, why they would even sue you, because you're not a popular person to sue. Because the jury will resent the lawyer for suing. Now let's talk about the anatomy or the mechanics of a lawsuit. The lawsuit is filed, you get a sheriff or a process server that's licensed to do so. We've seen it on Law and Order and other TV shows. Are you Mary Jones, RN? Yes, I am. You've been sued. What do you do with that lawsuit? Well, you take it to your employer and say, I've been sued. You say nothing to the person who provides you with a lawsuit. Don't make any comments. Don't do anything. Just take it. If they've gotten you, they got you. Sometimes they ask for substitute service and they just send it to you certified mail. And it's not that easy to serve somebody. People evade lawsuits all the time by hiding, not answering the door, or, you know. Leaving it in the bushes usually is not the preferred way to do it. Having a process server is, who is a person that's licensed, or a sheriff to send you the lawsuit. The lawsuit's going to have something to the effect of, you have been sued. You've got approximately 20 days to answer this. Or if not, in reality, are just admitting that you did whatever they said you did, and now it's just about money. And now it's just about how much you owe them. So if you default, it better be for a good reason. That means if you didn't answer and you got served with a lawsuit and you didn't file a demurrer, if you're in federal court, or a general denial, you better have a good reason for not having answered that. Sick. Didn't understand, getting a lawyer, needed more time. The judge may be merciful, but as you will find out in federal court, that is not the case. Once you have that, there's a ticking time bomb. You've got to respond to each and every allegation, usually, that has been put on there. There's going to be a set of facts. There's going to be allegations of what you or maybe the hospital did. And you may be even called to provide documents and answer, which is called discovery. They'll ask you for answers to questions. Admit or deny, requests for admissions are the most scary things, because they'll say, admit or deny you're a bad nurse. Admit or deny that you let the patient get pressure ulcers that were unstageable and they died of septicemia. Admit or deny that you let the person fall 20 times. Admit or deny that you failed to document. Admit or deny that you purposely let the person hurt themselves. So they'll put those out there, and if you don't answer them, they're deemed admitted. That means if you don't answer them, just like you don't answer the lawsuit, you're in trouble. But these are even more severe. And they might send you requests for production. That's producing tangible things, documents, things like that. And remember when I talked to you about insurance, part of the request for disclosure are, do you carry insurance? If you say yes, they might ask you to produce it in this request for production. If you answered yes to this request for disclosure, you know, about insurance, please provide us with the deck sheet or the declaration page that says, here's my insurance, and it'll show how much of your coverages are. And I tell people when they carry insurance, carry the least minimum you can, not as much, $200,000 per episode, occurrence-based insurance, and I'll tell you the difference. Occurrence-based insurance is a little bit more expensive, but when you carry your own insurance, and always do, whether you're a nurse practitioner or not, carrying your own insurance assures that you are going to get a lawyer that answers to you. And carrying your own insurance, it may be a little bit more expensive, but if you get a low enough limits, you don't have to get $1 million and $3 million aggregate, which means $1 million per episode, $3 million tops, and then you can get a $300,000, $600,000 policy, $300,000 per incident, $600 max, and carry that while you're working for someone. And you get also an administrative clause, which says we'll go to the nursing board with you up to $25,000, and we'll pay, you know, if you get deposed and they subpoena you to give your sworn testimony in open court about, or at a deposition, which is an out of court sworn statement that can be taken anywhere, a doctor's office, it can be taken at a home, it can be taken anywhere, but usually has these two things in common: a video and a court reporter that has you there, and the video will have a microphone attached to it so everybody in court can hear it, because they will play it later on. And so you've got those kinds of things going on, and then you get to answer the lawsuit, and you could say, I did not do any of these things. General denial. Issue a general denial on all allegations. Well, that's sometimes fine in state court, but generally you have to specifically answer by saying, no, this is not true. We deny it. And also provide detailed answers. Not too much to give away your whole defense, but to show them that you mean business, you've gotten a lawyer, and generally I'd let the lawyer do the talking for me, because once you have a lawyer, they're supposed to advocate for you. They can no longer, the lawyer is, that is part of the insurance, or if you paid for one out of pocket, and I feel so sorry if you did. And the other side is not to contact you anymore. The client from the other side suing, nor the representative for yourself can be contacted. So in any event, that is the nutshell of that. And then discovery on each side is sent out, which is more of the same, asking for documents, asking for more admissions, asking for interrogatories, which are, you know, where did you grow up? All that stuff is above board. That's why lawsuits, they'll ask you, have you ever been arrested before, sanctioned by the board, things like that. And you've got to answer truthfully, or you may object to the questions, saying they're not irrelevant, they're part of a fishing expedition, whatnot. And that process goes on 30 to, you know, 180 days or so. And then we're looking at taking depositions somewhere between there, or a little bit, you know, overlapping. And like I've told you, they're out-of-court statements that are sworn and taken, and then could be played later to the jury. Instead of live testimony, they'll say the testimony of, you know, Madam X, who could not make it, and you play that television to the jury of the videotape. And that is agreed upon. Sometimes I have had, you know, 3-hour depositions. You don't want to bore the jury. That is one of the big things, and we'll talk about that later, the dynamics of trials. But just to make it short, just think about depositions can be replayed at trial to discredit the witness up there on the stand and say, remember on May 13th, it's now August 13th, you testified under oath something different. And that's how you impeach them. Any one of you all who've seen legal shows understand the impeach sort of concept of making them look bad, making them look inconsistent, maybe even look a touch dishonest.
enough to cast some, you know, reasonable doubt as far as if it's a criminal case. But usually what we're talking about in a lawsuit is more likely than not, in most standards, is more likely than not, which means just barely tapping the scale your way, 51%, that it's more than likely you didn't do it, or just the verbal. And so we've got the depositions, and let's just sum it up. You've been served with a lawsuit. You answer it. You can even file your own counterclaims, and it's like your lawsuit within the lawsuit that doesn't cost you the money it costs them to file it, get it served, pay for the court costs to get it, you know, on the record. And you get to not only answer, but file counterclaims and defenses and say affirmative defenses, things that happened and that make it make sense that you did not do anything wrong. So you do certainly get a chance, and through vehicles of discovery that I talked about, interrogatories, requests for production, requests for disclosure, requests for admission. These are different sort of weapons that you can use to hold off the enemy, so to speak, because it is an adversarial relationship. You know, so at the we're getting to the end of our podcast. Went over a little bit. I usually do 10-minute podcasts, but there's a lot of information about this. But these are the kinds of things that nurses want to and need to know about: the anatomy of a lawsuit. What if you're sued? Do you need insurance? Yes, you do. You carry occurrence based versus claims made. Occurrence based happens. You could be paying for it, you know, from, you know, January 1st, 2016 to January 31st of 2019. And in between then, an act happened that caused injury or alleged injury to somebody, and they sue. Because you were covered during that time of the occurrence, that's what they call it, occurrence-based, you're covered. Claims made means, let's say you were covered until January 31st, 2019. You started coverage January 1st, 2016. So about 3 years and a month you were covered, but you didn't pay the tail. That means you didn't pay a certain amount of money. A lot of practices, especially with nurse practitioners, will buy a claims-made policy because it's cheap. Then when the nurse practitioner leaves, they expect the nurse practitioner to keep paying for that policy. Well, what happens when the nurse practitioner left on a sour note, or nobody explained that if you don't pay, nobody will pay, and they've left and left you exposed? Next case of somebody complaining, or a family member, and you're working somewhere else, and you don't have any insurance, that could give you in trouble. Or patient that you saw in between January 1st, 2016 and January 31st, 2019, they file a lawsuit, but they file a lawsuit after you left. That's claims made. They made a claim after you left. And because you didn't keep paying for that insurance, then you are without coverage, opposed to occurrence-based, that even if you stop paying after January 31st, 2019, because it occurred during the time that you had insurance, you are covered. So basically, that's the very, very basic explanation of why occurrence-based insurance is better than claims made, in my opinion. Reasonable legal and medical minds differ, but I stick with my occurrence-based because of that, and I get insurance that covers being reported to the board. That's called administrative coverage. So this has been Attorney Joe Flores, nurse practitioner, also letting you all know that your rights matter. I like to reach out to nurses and let them know what's going on, and let them explore their options. Read up. I've got documents, articles on Doximity, and you can go Google and search term Joe Flores Doximity. There's a What If You Are Sued article on there, and I lay out the whole thing that I've talked about here and more. So we've got about 20 seconds left. Just want to remind you about 361-887-8670. That's the number to call if you have any questions, or info, I-N-F-O, at floreslawfirm.com. That's I-N-F-O at F-L-O-R-E-S-L-A-W-F-I-R-M.com. That's info at floreslawfirm.com. We're out of time. Thank you, and God bless.